Welcome to the Survive to Thrive Radio Network at www.survive2thrive.net. Times are getting tough for most of us, and being prepared has never been more important. All of our hosts strive to keep you well informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. If you feel that the shows and website are informative, please share this information with your friends and family. If you would like to see certain topics covered, please let us know. Join us on Facebook to help spread the word. You can find the link at the bottom right of the Survive to Thrive homepage. From June 10th through 12th, Darren and Steve will be at the Health Freedom Expo in Chicago, Illinois, specifically at the Renaissance Schaumburg Hotel and Convention Center in Schaumburg, Illinois, in ballrooms A and B. If you're interested in attending, details are at the Health Freedom Expo. That's healthfreedomexpo.com. We would love to meet our listeners. Drop by and see InnerHealth Botanicals at booth number 235. That's 235. InnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with important information, but also with highly effective products that produce real results, such as InnerFood, coconut milk powder, liver cleanse, Coco Mojo, Silymarin, NutriCafe, and introducing the new 40-day, 40-night organic preparedness pail, a preparedness supply unlike any other on the market today. Supporting InnerHealth supports both this network and your own health. Without good health, we go nowhere. Go to survivetothrive.net and click on the InnerHealth banner on the top right for automatic discounts, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-F like Frank, O-O-D like dog, .com. Enerfood.com. A big thank you to all of our listeners already taking the products that EnerHealth offers. We truly appreciate it. We thank you for your support and encourage you to listen often to stay informed during these crucial times.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Leal, and today is Tuesday, June 14th, 2011, the year of our Lord, and coming to you in the midpoint of the month of June. My friends, in 2 weeks, we will progress into the second half of the year of 2011. The beginning of the summer is upon us, and then it will be autumn, which will be followed by the winter. Why am I bringing this up? Because in the next few months, we're going to see potentially some things that we have not prepared for, or the things that we have prepared for. In the next few months, before the next thud of the divine hammer hits the ground, I have to ask, my friends, how many of you are ready for the ground to shake? How many of you are ready for the events that are going to be posted on headlines, and the talking heads will be talking about them? And I know that I've come upon this program many times and said that the talking heads filter and sanitize the important things, and they give us the filtered news that really doesn't matter. But towards the end of this year, as the dark days and the dark clouds and the whirlwinds begin to arrive over this nation, they won't have a choice, because everyone's going to be talking about the things that are approaching. My friends, it's the divine hammer of God, the battle axe of heaven, the tool that can crush mountains and level the idols that have been allowed to exist in the hearts of too many people for too long. There are many events taking place right now, and the earth is already undergoing a great shaking. New volcanoes are now erupting. I saw a picture of the Chile volcano that had erupted, and the picture that I saw was very, very intense. It was dramatic. I don't think I've ever seen a volcano photograph like this one, folks. If you have a chance to download or to Google it, search it out. The earth is shaking right now. In Ethiopia, there's a volcano erupting. We have the ones in Iceland that are erupting. Several days ago, Christchurch, New Zealand had a new aftershock that was 6.0. The big one that destroyed much of their city was 6.3, so the intensity was pretty close to the original intensity. Things are happening right now, my friends. The ground is shaking. The earth is rumbling. And if I were to itemize the worldwide list of the destructive weather and the rumbling earth, and we talked about item after item after item, this program would run out of time. But suffice it to say, the earth is groaning and travailing right now. It is having violent contractions waiting to be redeemed. Folks, how many citizens of this planet can see this happening right now? How many people are aware of their plight right now? How many of those among God's harvest are aware of the divine clock that is ticking right now? How many people that sit in church have no clue of what's coming? I'm pretty certain that many of you that listen to this program have loved ones. You have friends, you have family members that you've tried to warn and talk about these things, but they have ignored you. Perhaps they've mocked you. Perhaps they've insulted you. Perhaps they dismissed you. They rolled their eyes. They called you names. You're crazy. You get that information off of the internet. Don't you know the internet is not true? Don't you know the internet is a web of lies entirely? How many of you folks have heard that? The internet has no truth. Those of you that are students of present world events can agree that the internet is probably one of the few places that we can find the truth these days, because the alternative media is on the internet, and many of God's watchmen and many of those that are hearing from God and having prophetic dreams and visions are posting their warnings on the internet. There are many voices out there that are trying to warn, that are trying to plead, that are trying to cry out to what time it is. But most people are not aware of these things. If you might be one of those that are trying to warn your friends and loved ones and you're struggling, you're discouraged, my friend, I just want to encourage you and let you know that God sees your efforts. God is pleased with your efforts, and He'll tell you, well done, thy good and faithful servant, in the day that you meet Him. So continue the vigilance, continue the hard work that you are doing. It does not go unseen in the chronicles of heaven. God is recording these things, and you are laying seeds. You're planting seeds in the hearts of your friends and loved ones. My friends, continue to warn them and also pray for them, because many people right now are blind. Many people right now have the sleeping pill that has been given to them. There's a great delusion over the land right now. There is great deception right now. So my friends, stay encouraged. But I also wonder how many of those shepherds that are behind pulpits are still offering messages that were penned during the comfortable years of another era, and they don't know what time it is. My friends, I submit to you that there are many, because every now and then I turn on the TV and go to the Christian satellite stations, the TBNs and the Marcus Lamb channels. And most of the programs, when I'm flipping through them, do not seem to mention what's going on in the world right now. It's the same story. God just wants to make you rich. And if some of you are discouraged that you haven't got that job, it's because you don't have enough faith. So it's your fault. I've actually heard some of these preachers say things like that. So most of the flock of God is not being warned right now. If some of you have loved ones that maybe live far away from you, pray that the Holy Spirit will warn them. Pray that the Holy Spirit will give them a dream or put a curious thought in their heart or in their mind to make them start seeking out the events that we're seeing right now. I've been emailed by some of you over the years, and some of you have said that out of the blue, you felt like Googling end times or signs of the times, different words that were placed upon your heart, and so you went to the computer and you Googled them, and then you came across my website or my program or my ministry, or you came across other ministries, and from there a journey started, and the Holy Spirit prompted you to become hungry and to search out these things. You couldn't get enough, so you kept seeking and searching. So my friends, the Holy Spirit can warn people directly. So getting back to being awake and knowing what time it is. Right now, my friends, we are coming to the final lapse of the story of America. Over the last few years, I have been sharing that America is going to find itself withering like a dried up reed. America is going to find herself plowed under, plowed over, judged by God, and eventually her wealth will be taken away. She will be liquidated. The large fire sale would occur across America, and America would lose her first world industrial world powerhouse status, because it's the judgment of God. Over the past few years, there have been events that are linked one to another. And each event that happens, as 1 week comes and goes, there will be a bank that will fail or a large company that will fail. And every week we are seeing another event visit the land of America. We're seeing the events in different categories. Sometimes they're weather events, sometimes they're earth change events, and sometimes they're economic events. But put together, all of these events are going to be summarized with one conclusion, and that is this, my friends. America is done. So here we are in the final laps. And folks, as the laps come to the final turns, as the people of God who are in the race, trying to get prepared and trying to get ready, as those of you find yourself in the last turn of the lap, my friends, I want to continue to challenge you and encourage you to maintain your vigilance. Do not be overcome. It's going to be a hard road ahead. The lights are going to grow dim. The light upon the world's going to grow dim because great darkness is going to come across the land. And those that are going to endure to the end are only going to endure because they have the light within them. And because you have the light of God within you. Because you have the lamp, your lamp, full of oil. And your light is shining bright. Therefore, you will not be overtaken in the darkness. You will not stumble in the darkness. You will not trip and be deceived and defrauded by the darkness. My friends, every week when I come on this program, we talk about another piece of the puzzle, another part of the great plan of God. And we try to make sense of these things. We look through the glass darkly. Yes, it's a handicap. We cannot see every single event that's going to happen. But we hear the voice of God within us telling us to prepare and get ready. So my friends, I want to encourage you, continue your vigilance. Over the past few weeks, I have shared some very hard biblical challenges. I have talked about some biblical disciplines when it comes to devotions and learning how to pray and learning how to seek God. If you're new to this program, I invite you to go to watchmanscry.com, go to the audio page, and at the top of the page, you will see a link to all Survive to Thrive messages. I have many of them in there. I believe there's 34 or actually it's almost 40 messages in the Survive to Thrive library. And also in addition to that, I have sermons in the audio page that will encourage you, challenge you, and help to make sense of what's going on. My friends, we are living in days of great challenge. We are no longer in 1995. We are no longer in the year 2005. We have crossed into the days of vexation and of heartache, of great challenge, and the whirlwinds of spiritual doom. But this doom is made to shake the world and to shake the church. This doom has a purpose. And the purpose of the doom that's coming is to make us stronger, to draw us nigh unto God, and to help us to shake off the parts of our lives that we've tolerated for too long. The recipe for survival and for endurance must, my friends, it must be obtained. And not just obtained, it must be heated, incubated, digested, and acted upon. And the recipe for survival and endurance is not a box of bullets or a bug out bag. Yes, those tools are necessary in the practical sense, and they will come in handy. They will be needed. But the most important tool that we need, my friends, the most important thing that we all need to be doing right now is to be preparing our spiritual walk with God. It is not the practice of vocal anger to the corrupt politicians and the New World Order bankers, because griping about them and yelling about them and focusing on just them is not going to strengthen us, my friends. The recipe and the formula is to get a hold of... No, let me rephrase that. The recipe is allowing God, the God of heaven, Jesus, Messiah, to get a hold of our lives, of our hearts, period, my friends. And accomplishing this task is not accomplished. It's not done by a proclamation. My friends, to accomplish this task takes a lifestyle. It means that we have to do it. So my friends, I have a question. Does God have a hold of your life? Or are you still watching from afar? Over the last few weeks, I've been sharing some of the practical spiritual measures that all of us can do to find God. Active measures that we need to do, my friends. Folks, allow me to be blunt. With the things that are approaching and with the severity of what they're going to do, many people who are not walking in the strength of their faith in Jesus, they're going to melt under the load. There's going to be some that are going to succumb to the pressure, so unfortunately many of them will be overwrought with fear, with pain, and sadly some of them will choose self-destruction. Folks, how sad will it be that some people will choose to jump out of a window or to slit their own wrists than to plug in with God, to dig in with God, to seek Him with all of their hearts, to find His peace that is available for all of us? Unfortunately, some will. They'll be too overwrought. So folks, that is why I'm talking about this right now. That is why I am constantly challenged that all that will listen will get a hold of their relationship with God and take it to the next level. Now, a few moments ago, I said that we're in the final lap. I said that we're approaching the midpoint of the year of 2011 and the fall is approaching and then the winter. So what is going to be coming upon us in the final lap? What's approaching us? What future events am I talking about? There's a whole list of things that approach. And in the second half of the program, if I have enough time, I'm going to share some of them. But at this point, there's a lot of preparation that we must continue to do. You know, folks, I know that I say this every week, but I have to continue saying it. There's a lot of blogs out there. There's a lot of forums that are out there. There's a lot of websites that do warn about the things that are coming. So some of our time can wisely be used to be aware. It is good to know the things that we are facing. But I also want to challenge you with this, my friends. Please do not become imbalanced and out of balance and just concentrate on all the doom reports, but then not take the time to find the peace of God and the discipline of finding alone time with God and your solitude with God. Folks, if we just concentrate on the Alex Jones scary New World Order messages, you're going to be filled and overwrought with fear. And there's not going to be any patience and comfort and peace, because the time was not taken to find that peace and that patience and that comfort. So my friends, I want to throw that out as well. If you spend all of your time on a forum, just reading all of the stories and discussing with others the stories, but you don't turn off the computer from time to time and seek God, you're not going to have the peace of God. It's going to be hard to find that peace. My friends, one of the hardest things to do is to find the peace of God, because our flesh does not want to do that. Our flesh does not want to get along with God and deal with the matters that are within our hearts. I know that. But in spite of that challenge, that roadblock, that wall, we still must travel on our path toward God. Folks, you need to do it. You need to take the time. Turn off the computer from time to time. Turn off the TV. Get alone. Go into your bedroom. But get alone with God, my friends, because the things that are coming are going to be very, very overwhelming. Now, before the break comes, I want to share something real quick, and I want to share something that I'm digesting. And several days ago, I was lying in bed and I couldn't go to sleep, and the Holy Spirit said something to me, and He spoke. Out of the blue, the Holy Spirit said, "How long ago was 9/11? In years?" I was in my dark room laying in bed, and I opened my eyes and I tried to add the years up with my fingers, and of course it was pretty easy. 9/11 happened in the year of 01, and here we are in the year of 2011, so that was 10 years ago. This September will be 10 years exactly. And then the Holy Spirit said, "How long was it from 9/11 to when the crash of 08 happened?" And when the Holy Spirit said that, I immediately knew what crash He was talking about, because how many of you folks can remember in September of 08? It happened in September 28th, in fact. The stock market went down 777. You folks remember that? When that event happened, the headline was across newspapers in large, bold letters. I remember that to this day. The letters were 3, 4, 5 inches tall on headlines. I remember seeing it on the headlines of newscasts. It filled the whole screen up, minus 777. When that event happened on September the 28th of 08, the Holy Spirit back then said, "This is my handprint." God was saying, "This is to show the world that I am doing this. I am allowing this to happen. It is not chance. It is not a coincidence. The judgment that is about to happen to the financial markets of this world are going to be allowed to happen, and I am allowing it to happen because of judgment." You folks remember that? Many of you can bear witness with this. I remember getting emails from some of you back then. So the Holy Spirit did speak to a number of His children to let us know that it was Him. So when I was lying in bed, the Holy Spirit said, "How many years were between 9/11 and the crash of 08, which would be September 28th. And I added it up again, and it was 7 years now. And then the Holy Spirit said, Google it. So now God was wanting me to check some things out and to do some research. So I got up and I went to Google late at night, and I Googled September 28th of 08, the stock market crash 777. And I brought up a story from MSN that was filed away from 3 years ago. And the story talked about when the stock market fell 777. And then the story went on to say the only drop that rivals this high amount was right after 9/11, when the stock market dropped 682 points. And that occurred on September 17th. So now I was curious, and now I knew that God wanted me to seek something out. So I Googled the stock market drop after 9/11, and I actually didn't remember this, folks. Maybe some of you might remember it, or maybe you don't, but when 9/11 happened, it happened on a Tuesday. It happened before 9 o'clock in the morning, the first plane hit. So as a result of the first plane hitting the World Trade Center, the stock market, Wall Street, did not open on Tuesday of September 11th. It was open the day before on Monday, but on Tuesday it did not open, and it stayed closed for the whole week. It did not reopen until the following Monday, 7 days later, on September 17th. And on that day, when the stock market opened, it dropped 682 points. So now I was thinking, God, you want me to, what are you trying to say? So from September the 17th, 2001 to September 28th of 08, that was 7 years and a few days. So now we're getting closer to 7 years. And as I kept researching, then I came across something that this blew me away, folks. And this is why I'm bringing this up, because I want to share it with you. I believe that God's trying to say something. I believe it's part of a big puzzle. And if some of you might have insight on this, please email. But this is what is going on, folks. When the stock market reopened on September the 17th of 01, that was the day before Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish holiday of judgment. On September the 28th of 08, when it dropped 777, that was also the day before Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish holiday of judgment. Those Rosh Hashanahs were 7 years apart. When I saw that, I was floored. I was amazed. I was thinking, God, 7 years apart. And now here we are, after the crash of 08. How many of you folks can remember that from 9/11 till the crash of 08, the United States experienced one of its largest boom cycles in its history? The markets went crazy. Real estate doubled and tripled in many towns and in cities and in states. So we had 7 years of plenty from 9/11 to 08. But then in 08, the judgment started. And here's what I'm wondering, my friends. Did the 7 years of famine start? Is that what God's trying to say? And if this is true, that means the 7 years of famine started in September of 08, and we are not even 3 years into this thing. And if we do the math, that takes us to the year 2015 for the 7 years of famine. Folks, I want to keep talking about this on the other side of the break. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
We're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, Interfood.com. Give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. Not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really that good.
Yeah, she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system. And it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Enerfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Enerfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, June 14th, 2011, the year of our Lord. And before the break, I was sharing a puzzle that I've been thinking about. A few nights ago, I was awakened by the Holy Spirit, and he asked me a question, and I tried to figure it out, and then he asked me another one, and then I did a little bit more calculating, and then the Holy Spirit told me to go research it. And that topic was about the events of 9/11 until the crash of 08. If some of you have actually wondered about this, please email me and share your thoughts. But what I was talking about before the break was after 9/11, the stock market reopened after being closed for 1 week. It reopened on a Monday, September 17th, and it dropped 682 points. That was on the eve of Rosh Hashanah. On September the 28th of 08, the stock market dropped 777, and that was on the eve of Rosh Hashanah. That was 7 years apart where these two events happened. After 9/11, after the market dropped, it regained, and then over the next several years, the United States, for the most of the early part of the millennium and into the second half of the millennium, into probably the year of 07, real estate went crazy all over the country in value. It appreciated. It doubled and tripled. The markets gained. It was a great market for investing. The years of plenty. And so this is what I'm wondering, my friends. Was that a time of the 7 years of plenty that could mirror what we saw happen in Egypt? Now, I'm not saying that it is. I'm just wondering. I'm thinking out loud here. We experienced 7 years of great growth, but now the crash happened. We're in year three of this timeline. So I'm wondering, was it the 7 years of plenty and now the 7 years of famine? And if it is the 7 years of famine that we're in, it started in the drop of 08. So that takes us to the year 2015. And if we want to stay pretty close to the calendar, that takes us to Rosh Hashanah of 2015 for this downturn, this depression. And then here's the next question. If this is true, because the Holy Spirit has not told me that it is true, I'm just wondering, I'm thinking out loud. It's like a puzzle. Maybe the Holy Spirit has shown some of you this, but I just got this 2 days ago and he hasn't confirmed this. I'm just thinking out loud here. But if we are in the 7 years of famine, and if we look back to the story of Joseph in Egypt, during the 7 years of famine then, what we read is that year after year, because Egypt had all the grain stored up, the rest of the world that surrounded Egypt at that time would come to Egypt and they had to give up their wealth just to get grain. First they brought their money, and then they ran out of money, and then they brought their livestock, and then they sold their land, and then they sold themselves, and then they became slaves to Egypt. So this is what I'm wondering, my friends. If we are mirroring that event, we have another 4 years of famine. A great transfer of wealth is going to occur in this world, on this planet. A great transfer of wealth is now underway in America. That cannot be argued. The factories are gone. The money is leaving. We don't have any more jobs that can create widgets and bring money in. All the money is leaving because America is a land of consumers. America is a land of people that must have the material wealth of the world, because that's the way we were raised and that's the way we have been brought up. So that's in our blood, to be consumers. But all of that is being brought to a halt. In the years past, a lot of people would hawk their house, get a loan, and and then go shopping. And then as the house went up in value, they would refinance it again and get another loan, buy another car, pay off other credit cards, and then within a year, they'd go into debt again. That's been the pattern for many Americans over the years. Some of you know what I'm talking about because possibly you're licking your wounds from that lifestyle. But that is going to be brought to an end because now the houses are no longer appreciating. We can no longer refinance. There's no source of money. The houses have gone down in value. The wealth has been taken away because of God's judgment. So over the next 4 years, this transfer of wealth is going to continue, my friends. The mainstream media tries to say that the recovery is here, things are better, but we know difference. We know what the truth is, and the signs are all around us. The society of America is collapsing. The things that at one time made America strong are now collapsing. The markets of America are going to be collapsing very, very soon. And after the 7 years of famine, if this is indeed what we're looking at, this is what I'm proposing, my friends. This is what I'm wondering. I'm proposing out loud. I'm not saying it's true, but I'm just wondering. In 2015, after the transfer of wealth has happened, will we all become slaves to Egypt, to the Egyptian spirit that has taken over the world, the New World Order? Will it be accomplished by then? Will there be another event that will trigger the New World Order? Will the tribulation begin by then? Will a great war have happened by then? You know, folks, honestly, I don't think we have that much time because 4 years from now, we are already seeing the drums of war occurring right now. So I'm just sharing that information. I was just thinking out loud, my friends. But the book of Ecclesiastes does say that what has happened will happen again. That which has been will be again. So history may or it may not repeat itself exactly, but if it doesn't repeat itself, it sure does rhyme with itself. Because even when we go back to the Great Depression of 1929 that began in 29, the stock market crashed. But then, after the initial crash, there was a bear recovery, a temporary recovery of a few years. And by late 1931 and into 1932, some people started thinking that the Depression was over. But then the next leg fell in 1932, and the Depression got even worse. And for the rest of the decade of the 30s, the United States and much of the modern industrialized world was challenged with economic depression. So it was 3 years that they had a bear market recovery that was temporary back then. And now look at us now, folks. The crash happened in 08. Here we are 3 years later. We were promised green shoots. We were made empty promises by the likes of Bernanke, by the White House, by the administration, by the Federal Reserve, by the mainstream media, by professors who whispered their assumptions that are now proven to be not true. But those assumptions said that the recovery was here. The recession is now over. Folks, we know that's not true. And here we are going on 3 years later this coming September. And I propose that this fall, there's a very, very high probability that the next leg of the Depression is going to drop. And it's going to take us into an even greater and deeper, darker economic depression. It will be no doubt by then, by most of the general public, when the budgets of states can no longer afford to pay unemployment benefits, there will be no doubt when the people quit getting their checks in the mail. When austerity measures are brought to the United States of America, budget cuts because we don't have the money, we're approaching 45 million people on food stamps in America. When those food stamps are cut or when the benefits are reduced, there will be no doubt from many of the citizens that times are no longer in recovery. When we see that states must continue to lay off public workers, police officers, deputies, when hospitals lay off doctors and nurses, when schools lay off teachers, there will be no doubt that we have entered very challenging times. And my friends, according to the financial reports that I'm beginning to read from the alternative media, it's pointing to that very thing. QE2 started last November, quantitative easing part 2, when the Federal Reserve started buying our own debt. After that happened, the rest of the world dropped our treasuries like a hot potato. They wanted nothing to do with the debt of America because it was all a Ponzi scheme. It made no sense. How can a country create debt and then buy its own debt? It made no sense. Who would want to invest in those pawn tickets, in those redemption stickers? They made no sense. QE2 is scheduled to end at the end of this month. So here's the question. Is there going to be a QE3? Has the curtain been pulled open for the United States? Does the rest of the world now see that it's all a deceptive game? Of course they do. Over the last few months, I've been talking about the secret meetings that China has had with Russia and Brazil, with India, other parts of the world, and they have decided to stop trading in dollars. There are nations that are now buying oil without dollars. The dollar is going to be extinct, or at least it will have been reduced from its strength that it had several decades ago. My friends, we are facing these things right now. And it's because of those things that we have to be ready, that we have to be informed, but we also have to be strengthened. We have to be full of God. You have to have your faith at a level where it will not shake you, my friends. Are you there right now? And, you know, folks, it's easy to say, yes, I'm there. I'm strong. But the test of where our faith is very evident in the way that we react when we hear news, or in the way that we react when we have conflicts with others. The fruit of the Spirit is the sign that our faith is where it's supposed to be, my friends. And right now I am seeing, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, that on forums and on blogs, on websites, I see a lot of Christians that are getting upset with one another. There is a great spirit of offense. And I'm not here to just condemn those that have the spirit of offense or that get upset. Folks, I understand when we're overwhelmed, our emotions don't cooperate with the desires of our spirits. When we get overwhelmed with pressures and stress, we do things that we regret. We say things we regret. We think things that we wish were not in our hearts. So my friends, if all of those dark areas are still within us, that is the sign that we must continue to plug into God, to seek God, and to get strong with Him. My friends, things are going to get more and more challenging. And I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm bringing the truth, my friends. We are facing some very challenging events. The election is about to begin. We're going to start seeing the mudslinging. We're going to see the new candidates arise from nowhere. Some of them we will have not heard about. Some will have some entertainment value temporarily that would be mocked and made fun of. Some of them we will wonder, what are they thinking? And then some of them might actually make people wonder, is it possible that this person can rescue America from its mess? Is it possible that this candidate, if they were to succeed and win the presidency, could turn America around and save us from our doom? Is it possible, my friends, that there could be a Lone Ranger, the politician, the candidate to arrive on his white horse or her white horse and turn things around and bring hope back? My friends, in my heart of hearts, based on what I see, based on how I see the church behaving, based on how I see America behaving, the culture of America behaving, the policies of our society behaving, I don't see a rescue for America, folks. I know that some Christians are saying Sarah Palin's a spirit-filled believer. She's the hope. She can turn things around. Even though she's silly at times, and even though she gets the answer wrong, and even though she has her Palin-isms, she's the answer for America. But my friends, I don't see that. America has not repented. After all of the grave events that we have already witnessed up to this point, where tornadoes have peeled the land in many areas, where many people have died, where great calamity has already visited us, where farmland has been devastated by flooding, destroyed by flooding. The Mississippi Delta is under great strain right now from flooding, from rain. I don't see a lot of people repenting. I don't see a lot of people calling vigils and solemn assemblies. I don't see pastors challenging people to come to solemn assemblies. Why is it not happening, my friends? Why is it not being publicized? Where's the church right now? Where are the calls for revival, for renewal? I don't see them happening, my friends. And because of that, I do not see any candidate that's going to rise up and turn this thing around. I don't see it, folks. Perhaps these words can be offensive. And does that mean, well, so do we just give up, Nathan, and just throw in the towel? We're stuck with Obama and that's it? We don't vote? Folks, if God instructs you to vote, if you feel convicted to vote, if you feel led to vote, then vote. Maybe at least in your mind, when you bring up, well, I didn't vote for Obama, I voted for someone that wasn't Obama, at least you have your voting record. Some people at times say, well, if you didn't vote, you have no opinion. So go ahead and vote then. But as far as stopping the judgment of God, I don't see how it's going to happen, folks, because here we are in the last lap. We are approaching the second half of 2011. Thus far, this year has broken so many records in so many categories. So many horrible things have happened, but we're just in June, my friends. There are many events that are beginning right now that, if they come to fruition, they're going to be news headlines in themselves. There's more storms that are coming. The Fukushima situation has not been resolved. And I don't see that situation actually going away for many, many months. That radiation is going to continue to come over here. But that story's old. It's expired. People don't want to talk about it. But nevertheless, the radiation's still going to come. And it's going to poison our crops. It's going to poison our water. It's going to make people sick. And some people, unfortunately, will succumb to this plague. The ill wind will land upon the young and the old. And some of them will, unfortunately, get the leukemias and the cancers. It's not good to report this, folks, but that's just one part of our dilemma. And then we have the drumbeats of war. It seems that every few weeks, there's another nation that is mad at their neighbor. Now I'm reading about Vietnam mad at Beijing, China. There's sword waving occurring between those two nations. The Philippines are now talking about war or defending themselves against China. North Korea is talking war. We have Iran talking war. Israel, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt. America has now started to attack another nation, Yemen. We are now bombing Yemen, folks. So thus far here in America, we have a theater of war in Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, and now Yemen, and possibly Pakistan. We're sending drones to Pakistan. There have been some reports that America has stated that if there's any threat of a terrorist stealing one of the nuclear bombs from Pakistan, then we're going to put boots on the ground and protect the nuclear bombs in Pakistan, meaning we're going to invade Pakistan. So there are many, many drumbeats of war, my friends, and it's getting heated. Russia is not happy with the missile defense shield. Iran is placing missiles in Venezuela. Folks, all around us, the drumbeats of war are occurring. So what is going to be the fuse that lights off the very first event? And as a chain reaction occurs all around the world, like a stick of dynamite, like dominoes, what is going to be the event that causes this? Folks, we are facing very, very, very dire events in our future. Drought continues in parts of Texas. I just saw several days ago that a dust storm crossed Arkansas. So during the first depression of 29, we had the Dust Bowl that occurred from Texas all the way up through Oklahoma, Colorado, Nebraska, Kansas, because there was drought in the land. It was the judgment of God back then. On a previous program, I've talked about these things. A judgment has visited America in times past, and that judgment was the Great Depression, and it ended in war. And here we are once again, my friends. We have a drought in Texas. We have dust storms going across Arkansas. We have fires destroying many parts of the Southwest because of drought. And then one or two states over, we have great flooding. In parts of Iowa and Missouri, they've experienced 10 to 12 inches of rain just in the last several days. The Mississippi River is flooding. The dams are under great strain. The levees are under great strain. The farmland is being destroyed. And on top of that, we have economic calamity. The crops are going to fail. The wheat crops. At what point will the crops not be able to keep up with the demands and the necessities of the world's hungry ones? Folks, this coming fall, according to what I'm reading in some of the financial diaries and concerns of the analysts that are out in internet land, people like Gerald Celente, Peter Schiff, and others, those that examine the numbers, they're saying that this coming fall, we could be looking at the last nail in the coffin. And in the last few minutes, I wanted to just share a recent report from Gerald Celente. His report came out on the 13th, which was yesterday, and I want to just read a few things that he says right here. It says, collapse. It is coming. Are you ready? Everything is not all right, and things are going to get worse, much worse. The economy is on the threshold of calamity. Wars are spreading like wildfires. The world is on a razor's edge. And how true is that, my friends? Of course, the world leaders in the mainstream media say not so. Yes, there's problems, but the financiers and the politicians are aware of them, but they have policies in place, and measures are being taken to correct them. Folks, how many of you believe what the politicians say? They're going to keep us out of the mess of war and economic calamity when they're the ones that have played a large role in starting these things and contributing to these things? As far as these leaders and their media are concerned, the only opinion that counts come from a stable of thoroughbred experts, official sources, and political favorites. You know, folks, I don't believe them. And I challenge you to really, really weigh what you hear from the talking heads of the mainstream media. They're going to say what they say, but even when we look at the Depression of 1929, from the 29 crash till the second leg in 1932, many of the experts back then, from colleges, universities, economists, and legislators and people in the administration, many of them said that the Depression's over. The worst is over. The worst is behind us. We are on our way to recovery. And here we are now, folks, again, rhyming with the first Depression. The report goes on. Both sides had their turn in office. Both used their power to initiate policies that created the problems. Folks, how true is that? The Dems, the Democrats, and the Republicans, they both had their chance at fixing the mess that we're in right now. And both sides have failed. Those of you that are awake, those of you that are familiar with what's going on, you know that both sides of the aisle are just plain political rhetoric. They're just going through their WWE wrestling tactics. They have their coffee and donuts behind the scenes in the dressing room, and they make deals with one another. On the surface, they may look like they are sworn enemies, but my friends, how can it be that both sides are utter and colossal failures when it comes to what's going on right now? During the presidency of George Bush, we saw this nation taken into the road of an iron fist. Mr. Bush gave us the Patriot Act, parts 1 and 2. He gave us the Military Commissions Act, where Posse Comitatus was thrown out the window, where the Constitution was stepped on. George Bush even is quoted and on record as saying that the Constitution is just a blank piece of paper. Before Obama was the president, I used to get behind this microphone and say that we're being deceived. So many Christians are sleeping on their hands. They're under a great delusion, and the freedoms are being dismantled. But many Christians did not see it. And it took the likes of Obama to come into office, to take his whips out and start chastising Americans with his scorpions, with his venomous stings. Some people have awakened. We have seen the policies that have continued with the police state measures that Mr. Bush began. So folks, on both sides of the aisle, the hope is not in the arm of the flesh. We now have a Republican majority in the House, but the Patriot Act was still given an extension. Now, what is that all about? Mr. John McCain has authored some legislation that continues to butcher the freedoms of Americans. So even though they argue about cutting parts of the budget here and there, the big picture continues, and that is the demise of this nation. And that's what Gerald Celente was saying. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle, Democrat or Republican. The confidence has been proven to have eroded in our politicians. At least in my heart it has. And hopefully those of you that are awake do not place confidence in the arm of the flesh or the spirit of Egypt. Because the chariots of spiritual Egypt that are found in America, the voting booth, is not going to save this nation, my friends. So whether it is Sarah Palin or Rick Perry or Kane or McCain, or any of the other nobles that rise up, my friends, it's not going to change. If we do happen to get a Republican in office, according to the spreadsheet of America, we're still going to be in our debt that can never be paid. Trillions of dollars of debt hang over the households of every American citizen, of our unborn citizens, of our children that are still in diapers. That debt can never be repaid. And according to the numbers of the new culture of globalism, by the year 2016, China is going to overtake the United States of America as the number one economy on this earth. According to the reports, at the rate that things are going, China's economy is going to be worth $18 trillion in the year 2016. but America's economy is going to be worth under $18 trillion. It'll be approximately $17.8 trillion. So that means that whoever's in office in the next term is going to be the last president of the largest economy in the world. Because after that, America will no longer be the largest economy on this planet. And a shift is taking place right now, folks. It's happening before our very eyes. America had her turn. During the 1800s, the nation of Britain, the UK, was the most powerful nation in the world at that time. It was the British. They were the strong ones. But then after World War I and then World War II, after the Bretton Woods Agreement, and after America had her decisive victories in those wars, America took over as the number one power. And we had our Industrial Revolution, our manufacturing bull market that placed America on the world stage. During the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, this nation enjoyed that status. Our grandparents enjoyed it. Our parents enjoyed it. And those of you that were alive then, you also enjoyed it. But it looks like now those days are coming to an end. When we look at 2016, when China takes over, that means America had almost 100 years. America had her turn, folks. And now it looks like someone else is going to take over. And I don't say this proudly. I don't say this with glee. I say this with regret, my friends. But this transition is going to happen. The New World Order is now being allowed to plow over the world, to change the players, and to give somebody else a turn. God's allowing this, my friends. So the transition of us losing our turn is what I am trying to prepare for. Because that transition is going to affect the lifestyles of all of us. It's going to affect our wallets, our pocketbooks. It's going to affect the wealth that you have worked so hard to save up. It's going to affect the values of your homes. It's going to affect your pension and the entitlements that many of you have looked forward to enjoying in your golden years. I just read a report recently that stated that based on what's going on now in the dying U.S. economy, and because many retirees have lost their wealth that they once had in their IRAs and their 401ks and their retirement funds, many, many elderly are now having to work well into their 70s and 80s before they can retire. Yes, they might receive a little bit of Social Security, but that amount of money is not a living wage when compared to the budget requirements of the American culture. Rents are still high in many parts of this nation. Food has gone up. So between just rent and food, the budgets of many Americans are now in the red. Folks, the math is before us. The spreadsheet is before us. And I'm not saying this to scare you, but it's going to take some adjustments from all of us to be able to weather the great change that's coming. And you know, folks, when we compare the American culture of the last century and we compare it to the rest of the world, the American culture has become very isolated as far as the social fabric, because a lot of Americans have been influenced with the expectation that once an American reaches the age of 18, according to American culture, they're expected to leave their house and go find their fortune. So they leave the house and they go live on their own. They go live by themselves. They go to college and then they make their money. And many families are fractured in America. The family unit is a very fractured, sad, unstable thing in America. When you look at second and third world countries, the family unit is much more dependent on one another. They stay with one another and they support one another. And when the parents get old, they are taken care of by their children. But here in America, the family unit is fractured. So what we have is young people turning 18 and then they move away and they go off to seek their fortune. They're not close to their parents. And then when the parents reach the age of retirement, because they were not close with their kids, they're thrown in a nursing home or they have to go try to survive alone, because the culture was a selfish culture of consumerism, where the goal was to retire or die with the most toys. And we also see the elderly retiring and then blowing much of their savings on themselves. They'll go through a midlife crisis where they'll go off and buy a very expensive toy. They'll spend their inheritance for their children because they're not close to them. Many times they die alone and lonely. My friends, some of you can attest to what I'm talking about. The American culture has not been friendly to the family unit. And the reason I'm bringing all of this up is because of this, my friends. Because with the challenges that we have that are facing us, as America is reduced in her status of wealth, and as the great transfer of wealth happens in America, many Americans are going to find it necessary to go back to their family roots, to their family unit, and consolidate the resources of the family together. So because of the depression that has arrived and that is going to be growing darker and more challenging, many children are going to find themselves having to move back in with their parents. Or parents might find themselves having to move in with their children. And you know, folks, this is not a bad thing. This is actually a good thing, because it's going to allow families to once again become dependent on one another and learn to coexist with one another, to learn to love one another and to function with one another. This is a good thing. So from that standpoint, I do see it as the will of God, because when God shakes a land and a people, he does it so that the people can learn righteousness, to rediscover lost values and lost perspectives that used to be the gems of society. So my friends, as some of you are looking at your pocketbook, your checkbooks, your bank account, and the budgets that you're facing, and when you're asking yourselves, what am I going to do? How am I going to survive in this mess? One option may be, my friends, that perhaps you may need to move in with loved ones, with relatives. And if that does happen, I know that that scenario may strike fear and terror to some individuals because they like their freedom and they like to live alone. But folks, this may be one of the only choices that some of you have. So take those things to God, my friends. Pray about it. Find his peace. Find his direction. But above all things, my friends, find the will of God in your life and find faith in God in your life. I know that it's not easy. I know that some of you are alone. Some of you are overwhelmed with loneliness. Some of you are shut-ins. You have no place to fellowship with like-minded individuals. And my friends, I want you to know that God sees you where you are. Well, folks, it looks like we're running out of time. So I want to say real quick, if you appreciate these messages, my friends, we appreciate your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. Folks, again, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the sermons that this ministry produces, go to watchmanscry.com, go to the audio page, and listen to the messages. They will encourage you. They will challenge you. All right, folks? Well, it looks like we're out of time, so stay safe. God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you.